Our scripture this morning is taken from 1 Timothy 6, the inspired letter of the Apostle Paul to his spiritual son in the ministry, Timothy, the 6th chapter. And let's remember that Timothy is the pastor and is addressed as the pastor in this passage. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich, and that text needs just a bit of clarification. They that will be rich means they who desire to be or wish themselves to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. This is the Word of God. And we call your attention especially to verses 6 through 8. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. On the basis of the passage and others to which we shall refer, the Lord willing, in the course of our sermon this morning, we call attention to the teaching of Scripture as summed in Lord's Day 50 of our Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 50, question 125. Which is the fourth petition? The answer: give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry, nor even thy gifts, can profit us without thy blessing. And therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee. There are a number of points that need to be made by way of introduction, the first of which is a point involving myself. And I want you to hear this and to bear it in mind as we proceed through our exposition of this Lord's Day in the light of God's Word. I need to hear this as much as anyone in this church sanctuary this morning. I need to hear. I need to understand and believe what the Lord is saying to me when he says, pray this way, give us this day our daily bread. Now that seems to be a rather easy petition to utter before the throne of grace. Perhaps even with a smidgen of pride in our hearts, look, Lord, all I'm asking is for daily bread. We all need bread after all. I'm not asking for a lot. I'm not asking for anything more than that. All I'm asking is daily bread. Let's ask ourselves, is this really all that we want? All of us, I'm certain, young and old, and all in between, pray for daily bread. What if God gave us precisely that and nothing more? Suppose you went home from this worship service to sit down at your dinner tables and all you had was a piece of bread. Would you be thankful? Would you be content? Or would you complain? I know what I would do. What would you do? Would you be as I and be a bit critical of the Lord? How do you react, for example, and how do I react to this so-called great, what do we call it now, recession that we're in as a nation and as the world? How do we react to that? I know how I react. I said it to my wife yesterday, as a matter of fact. Well, we worked hard all our lives long. We set aside for our retirement, and the Lord took a whole chunk of it away in one day a couple of years ago. And it still isn't back where it was. Perhaps you've had similar thoughts. Daily need, nothing more. This, people of God, is a petition easy to utter, at least at first glance. But when you realize that it is not merely for earthly need, but a spiritual petition, from that point of view, it is without doubt the most difficult petition in the entire prayer. Do you pray this? Not merely uttering so many words? Do you pray this really consciously, as explained here in the Catechism? Bread, so that we may acknowledge thee, just bread, Lord, bread for just today, that we may acknowledge thee as the only fountain of all good? And why do we pray this? Mere formality, perhaps? Or even a bit of superstition? Or as an outward need? Or as an inward spiritual need of our very hearts? And for what are we praying? Mere bread? Just food and earthly need? Would you consider your prayer answered if you had not only or merely a slice of bread, but perhaps only a dry crust? Or nothing at all? Suppose God gave you nothing. Would he have answered your prayer? Do you want material, earthly bread, and that alone? Or do you want a spiritual blessing? To whom are we praying when we say this? The one whom we must assist and help by willing to agree with him, and by our hard work, what the Catechism calls our care and industry? Do we pray to a God whose goodness is, in a certain sense of the word, common, and involves things like rain and sunshine, temporal and earthly things? Or are we praying to our Father in heaven, in the name of and by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we're praying consciously to the only one who can supply our daily need, who loves his beloved in Christ Jesus, redeemed by His grace and Spirit, preserved as His dear children, and whose wrath is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of men, who gives either in His mercy to His beloved in Christ, or in His wrath to those outside of Christ? And all of those questions and more come down to one question. Do we pray out of the heart and by faith, Lord, our Heavenly Father, give us this day our daily bread? As ones who do not belong to themselves, but body and soul, in life and in death, to their faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. As those, therefore, who are not willing or wishing to be rich, but who are content with food and raiment, as the apostle writes to us through his spiritual son. That's the way the catechism teaches us and sums this great truth. God is, after all, the only fountain of all good. His blessing is indispensable. His grace is indispensable. We withdraw our trust, then, from ourselves and from all creatures, and we place all our trust in our Heavenly Father, knowing that all our care and industry is an exercise in utter futility apart from God's blessing and grace. We call your attention then to this prayer for bread for today. And we consider first the basis of that prayer, then the simple request, and finally the only possibility of our being able to pray this petition. First of all, notice the position of this petition. While it occupies, at the very outset, we may note, a subordinate position. I mean, it comes as the fourth, not the first or second or even third, but the fourth petition of the prayer. But notice in the second place that in the second section of the prayer, this petition is first, not because it's more important than the forgiveness of our sins or being led not into temptation but delivered out of evil and so on, but because bread is first according to our need, a natural need. I mean by that, as soon as we need bread no more, we are in no need of the forgiveness of our sins or deliverance from temptation, because we are in glory and we are sinning no more and we are drinking from the eternal fountain of all good. But then this prayer as a whole, this petition occupies a subordinate place to the petitions that concern God's name, His kingdom, and His will. And there's significance to that. First of all, these first three petitions, which we've already considered, form the foundation, remember, the foundation, and at the same time, the limitation of this petition. Give us this day our daily bread. What we mean is this: we pray for bread not merely to eat and to drink, certainly not for the satisfaction of our sinful desires, but in order that we may be strengthened to hallow the name of God, seek His kingdom, and do His will. We pray, therefore, within the limits of those first three petitions. Sometimes you hear it. God's people will never lack bread. That's true only in the sense that God will surely supply all our need according to the riches of His grace in Christ Jesus. He will. He will. God will care for us. God will provide for us. He will give us the means to live as His people in this world according as He wants us to live and for as long as He wills us to live. Okay? Therefore, we must never question what God sends us, nor complain, since everything He sends is all good and down to the last detail works toward the goal of our salvation and the glory of God's name. Everything. Nothing is against us. This same inspired apostle exclaims in Romans 8, nothing is against us. Nothing can separate us from God's love in Christ. All things are for us. Everything is strictly subservient to the manifestation of God's glory. That is God's purpose with all things, with every last member of that multitude which no man can number, that will in the great day of days stand before His throne in glory. God's people on the way to that glorious end must experience a certain measure of suffering. We celebrated with a young brother last Sunday morning, didn't we, who confessed his faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, and we called his attention, did we not, to what Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him take up his cross. Take up his cross. That might mean hunger. That might mean going without even daily bread. For some saints, it has meant in the past persecution, imprisonment, suffering, even starvation, being burned at the stake, or death through other means. It may very well mean for you and me a portion that is very, very small or even nothing at all. We know, for example, according to the word of Christ, that the day is coming in the great tribulation which precedes His return at the end of the ages, that without the mark of the beast in our foreheads and on our right hands, we'll be able neither to buy or sell. We need bread only to seek the kingdom. That's all. We need whatever God determines to be our need in order to set our hearts, that's the meaning of seek, on the kingdom of God. And that kingdom is near, very near. The signs are occurring all around us. Remember, too, God is the possessor of everything. That, in the second place, is the basis of this prayer. You can't pray, give us this day, to someone who lacks the power to give. Can you? Of course not. In the natural sense, You don't go down to South Division Avenue or the Hartside so-called district of Grand Rapids and encounter and come up to one of the homeless down there and a beggar and say, I need some help here. I need some bread or what have you. Of course not. But in the spiritual sense, you confess when you pray this prayer, God is the only one who can give you your earthly need. Because God created all things and possesses all things. It is His to give or to withhold. And not only when things are not within our reach, but also when we apparently have bread for today and a whole lot more, as every single one of us does. Also now, yes, we're in a recession. None of us has gone hungry. Not really. None of us has lacked the ability to provide for our hunger and for the hunger of our spouses and children. God is the Creator, and therefore always remains the possessor of all things. The farmer works with God's soil, that rich, dark, black muck of Hudsonville and environs is God's, isn't it? And God's seed is put into the ground. And God makes that celery or those onions or whatever to grow. And out in Iowa, it's God's sunshine and God's rain that causes the corn to stand tall and yield its rich abundance. And when it's brought to town, the grain to the elevator, it's God's. And when it's milled and prepared and bought and sold, how many times over before you hold a loaf of bread in your hands? What does the world say about all that? The world says, that's mine. That's mine. Never acknowledges God, the Almighty. And the Christian says, that's God's. God is sovereign. And God remains God whether I'm poor or whether I'm rich in the things of this world, whether I have enough to eat for one day or whether I lack. God is God. And God is the sovereign dispenser of all things. We call that the doctrine of providence, don't we? And I often think we take it for granted. I do. But God upholds and governs all things. Also, everything that goes into the provision of our daily food, our bread. Even the bread that God gives us will nourish us only because God sees fit to use it in that way. And nothing can stand in the way of God and His providence. Nothing. Nothing. You can depend on it because it's God's. Bread will not poison us one day and nourish us the next or vice versa. It always nourishes. But only because it's God's, who has the sovereign power to dispense it and to use it in the same way for the same purpose all of the time. Our care and our industry, not even today, avails us anything apart from God. even God's gifts, as our catechism puts it, cannot profit us without God's blessing. Bread we need, but we need it with God's blessing from the only one who can give it, God Himself. Bread all by itself is neither blessing nor a curse. Nothing. Grace is not in things. Blessing is not merely in things. God gives His bread to both wicked and righteous, but He gives it to the wicked in His wrath and to the righteous in His love and tender mercy. Psalm 73 makes that perfectly clear, does it not? The ungodly rich with all his wealth is set on slippery places that lead him down into destruction as in a moment. God casts him down, the psalmist says, into destruction on those slippery places. This is a prayer that can be uttered only by the child of God. No unbeliever can utter this petition. He doesn't want just bread. He wants the whole world if he can have it. And those people on the other side of the world whose skin is black and who live in undeveloped countries can starve. Give me the luxuries, all I can get. He certainly doesn't want the bread of God in God's way in order to set his heart on God's kingdom. The child of God, in the midst of the world, asks the Lord for bread to seek his kingdom. And so, people of God, it isn't the way you use it that makes bread a blessing or a curse. No, it's how God is pleased to use what He gives you to bless you as His children in Christ Jesus and to cast into destruction on slippery places the unbeliever. A simple request. Yes, in a sense, that's exactly what it is. Bread. Pretty simple, isn't it? Bread. And it represents the necessities of life, not the luxuries. In fact, that's the literal meaning of the original here in Matthew 6. Necessary bread. The bread, the necessary, give us, is the literal translation. The necessary bread. Bread that is necessary. Not a crumb more or less. Now that doesn't mean that we cannot have more. Doesn't mean that. This very passage tells us that God gives us richly all things to enjoy. He gives to some of His people wealth. He does. Nothing wrong in that. Again, people of God, sin is not in things, but we're told to ask for the necessary bread. In other words, bread for today. This day. And that means not merely this day, it means that too, but it means what God determines to be my need for today. That which will meet my circumstances and provide me with what I need to set my heart on God's kingdom and righteousness. And bread for this day further means that I don't worry about tomorrow. I take no thought for. I'm not anxious about tomorrow. Just today. Oh yes, people of God need to take forethought. People of God need to understand that without work, there will be no bread. God uses means to give us our daily need. We aren't going to get manna dropping down from heaven. We're not going to wake up to that tomorrow morning or any morning. But we must assume an attitude of no anxiety. As His children, we need to cast our cares upon Him and live out of God's hand one day at a time without worrying about the future. And we need that bread from God with His blessing. If it's just a prayer for mere bread, then it's carnal. I need to acknowledge God, as we said earlier, as the fountain of all good. His gifts can't profit me without His blessing. And so we need to pray, seeking bread with the assurance that God loves us and favors us in Jesus Christ. Now, that's relatively easy these days, isn't it? It has been for most of us for most of our lives. Yes, we're in a recession. Yes, things are tough, especially the construction industry and all related work is difficult these days. Of course it is. And I don't minimize that. Not at all. Some of the older ones, perhaps, and many of us can remember our parents and grandparents talking about the Great Depression that began in 1929 and extended pretty much throughout the 1930s until the Second World War. But people of God, we need grace. We need grace. We do, now in the good times. But we need grace to use our bread in the way of denying ourselves, taking up our crosses, and following Christ. Bread for the kingdom, not laboring for the things that perish, but laboring to provide food and the necessities of daily life, clothing and shelter for our families, not wealth and pleasure, not this, that, and the next thing, but for the kingdom of heaven. And that translates into the church of our Lord Jesus Christ, mission, the mission of the church at home and abroad, the seminary of the church, in order that the Lord may bless us with capable and godly men for the ministry of the gospel, the Christian schools where our children may be instructed by godly teachers in the light of the Word of God to prepare them to live as pilgrims and strangers in the midst of this world. Those are our need, people of God. And that needs to be first in our lives. We know that. I'm sure we do. We know that, don't we? I'll never forget when I said to my parents that I was going to get married and that I had purchased a diamond for my dear wife-to-be, who is my wife today, 49 years, for which we thank the Lord. My dad said to me, "Robert, you remember this. When you set your budget, number one is the church and Christian education, and you live off the rest, and God will take care of you." He was dead right. We never lacked a thing. By the grace of God, we tried to live exactly that way. Never lacked a thing. God took care of us. the way it is, people of God. Bread for the kingdom. Bread for the kingdom. Now you say with me, do you not? I can't do it. I can't pray that way. I don't have that confidence. I don't have that kind of faith. Yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. You mustn't steal. No, we labor with our hands the thing which is good, in order that we may have to give to him that needs. We don't take an unmerciful attitude towards our fellow saints. Not at all. Godliness, that's first. And godliness with contentment, we believe with all our hearts, is great gain. In the end, it's heaven and glory. No, we can't live that way by ourselves. By nature, and I can only speak of myself, I want to be rich. I want to have more, always more. Oh, yes. More this, more that, more the next thing. By nature, I covet. By nature, I am dead in trespasses and sins. Also as regards the fourth petition of the prayer Jesus taught us. By nature, I don't have any rights. I don't deserve any bread. Let alone riches. But in Christ, you and I are heirs. Heirs with Christ and joint heirs, the scripture tells us, of everlasting life and glory. And we have that grace of our Lord Jesus Christ worked in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel and through the mighty work and irresistible presence and work of the Holy Spirit of Jesus. That's what goes on here whenever we gather in obedience to Jesus' word to worship the Lord our God. And when we open the scriptures in our private and family devotions, it's the Spirit who works the word in our hearts. So that when we sit down to eat and drink, we say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us, and we mean it, give us this day our daily bread. Exactly what we need, and nothing more, in order that we this day may serve thee and set our hearts on thy kingdom. Bread enough, Lord, bread enough to follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, and meekness. Bread to fight the good fight of faith. Bread to manifest in my life the fact that godliness with contentment, being satisfied with food and raiment, for one day, so that the kingdom may come in the way of church and covenant instruction in our schools, that, Lord, is great gain. Someday it will be the great gain of seeing Jesus on the clouds and hearing his voice. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Amen. Father in heaven, grant that we may experience the beginning, the principle of that great gain now, and presently in all its perfection when thou dost take us through death into thy presence, and ultimately through the great resurrection into the new heaven and the new earth. Give us the grace to pray. And mean it from the bottom of our hearts. Give us this day our daily bread. For Jesus' sake, amen.